Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Graphic Audio presents Archie, Volume 2, by Mark Wade and Veronica Fish, with Thomas Battilli and Ryan Jampole. Narrated by Rob Morira and Bradley Foster Smith, with performances by a full cast.
Chapter 1. Family Time.
A servant sets down a dish of braised beef and microgreen salad upon the long, polished oak table in the opulently furnished dining hall of Lodge Manor, where the Lodge family, Patriarch Hiram, Matriarch Hermione, and raven-haired heiress Veronica silently pick at their meals. Veronica stops scrolling on her phone momentarily to shoot her father an angry glare. Hiram peers over his newspaper and scowls back at her. Hermione facepalms and sets down her silverware.
Veronica, dear, did you want to invite one of your friends to go skiing with us?
Veronica's eyes dart to her mother, then back to her father, who crumples his newspaper in his clenched fist.
Forget it, little lady. That Archie kid should be behind bars for his crimes. If I had hard evidence, he would be.
Veronica sticks up her nose defiantly.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, let me refresh your memory. He destroyed our house.
Veronica pointedly fusses on her phone, refusing to make eye contact with anyone.
I don't know what you're talking...
Stop saying that, Veronica. I've already heard the truth.
Veronica stands up dramatically, knocking her chair over.
Who would tell you something awful like that about Archie?
Well, duh.
She looks over to see a teenager with a leather jacket and slicked back dark hair swagger into the dining hall.
Your boyfriend's a red-headed wrecking ball, Ronnie. Destruction that big? He might as well have signed his name.
Who is this Hiram? And why is he tracking all over my clean carpet?
This is Reggie Mantle, dear. I've hired him as a consultant.
Veronica's jaw drops.
You what?
Reggie picks a piece of lettuce off Hermione's plate and pops it in his mouth.
Hey, I keep informed. I know who's who and what's what in this town.
He saunters around the table.
Your dad's a busy man. He doesn't have time to find dirt on his enemies. I, on the other hand...
Reggie reaches to pick a morsel off of Hiram's plate, who slides it away from him.
Let's just say that people of our station must be vigilant, sadly, of those who would take advantage of us.
Hiram smiles at the lad.
Reggie, the family and I are headed upstate after lunch. Do you like to ski?
Veronica can't take it anymore.
The three of you enjoy yourselves!
She storms out of the room.
Miss Veronica Lodge, you get right back here!
She ignores her father, heading toward the grand staircase.
Veronica!
She stomps up the stairs, shoving past a maid carrying a basket of linens, and enters her room, throwing open the large double windows.
So, how'd it go?
Archie Andrews, in his Riverdale High varsity jacket, clings precariously to a tree limb just outside Veronica's window.
Do you know some cheap hustler named Reggie Mantle?
I know he's not hanging three stories in the air to find out if he can come inside and apologize about a bulldozer accident.
Not now, Archiekins. I need more time to talk Daddy out of hunting you for sport. Reggie has stopped staring at my chest long enough to tell him it was you at the construction site that night.
What? That jerk! How would he know that?
Probably just a guess, but he's really sucking up to Daddy. Call me later.
I'm not normally that clumsy, you know.
Veronica blows Archie a kiss.
Of course you're not.
She closes the windows, and Archie begins to awkwardly climb down the tree. He glances over and sees two figures walking side by side along a wooded path. Archie stops climbing and squints.
Betty?
Sure enough, Archie's ex-girlfriend, Betty Cooper, walks beside the handsome, olive-skinned Saeed Ali, and they're holding hands. Keeping his eyes on the couple, he reaches for a tree limb and closes his hand around thin air.
Chapter 2, Sacred Trust.
Archie brushes leaves out of his disheveled red hair as he walks through downtown Riverdale.
Mantle! Of course he's trying to wedge himself in with Mr. Lodge. Of course he's moving in on Ronnie. Fast, like a cobra. I need a plan.
Archie imagines himself struggling to control a flamethrower as it spews a jet of fire across the lockers and ceiling tiles of Riverdale High School.
I need a better plan, and I know just who would have one.
Archie pulls open the glass door to the cozy diner, known to the locals as Pop's Chocolate Shop. He enters to find his pal Jughead leaning over the counter in agony.
Pop, please. I'm broke, but starving. I need the energy rush.
To do what? My butter churn is more active than you.
Behind the counter, Pop Tate, the portly, aproned proprietor, holds a delicious, juicy hamburger out of Juggy's reach.
No more credit. Show me you can pay, or... okay.
Pop sets the plate down in front of Jughead.
Huh?
Jug turns to see Archie standing behind him, holding up a $20 bill.
Huh.
Archie slides in and takes a seat on the stool next to Jughead, who dives into the burger as Pop goes to polish a milkshake glass.
I thought you were mad at me.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Mantle is trying to get in good with Veronica's dad and screw this relationship up for me.
Archie runs his fingers through his red hair.
You've had my back enough years to be an expert at fixing bad situations. I need your help.
To destroy Reggie?
No. To save Mr. Lodge.
That makes it less fun. But I owe you at least for the burger. All right. Step one. We need damaging intel on old Evilheart. But where to find it?
Jughead eyes Pop, who sets the milkshake glass on a shelf.
Who in Riverdale knows all, sees all?
A grin spreads across Archie's freckled face.
Yes! That's perfect! Everybody in town comes here, and Pop overhears everything!
Thanks for noticing.
Pop turns to face the two teens with a knowing smile.
I'm right, aren't I?
I've been behind this counter for a long time, Archie. I watched your parents fall in love. The people of Riverdale have trusted me with their secrets since before either of you two were born. Do you know why?
Jughead sneaks his hand into the open door of a pie display case on the counter.
Because you're so charming and smart and handsome, we envy you?
Pop slams the pie case shut.
Because I don't talk. Everything I've ever heard, every piece of gossip, every sob story, every confession stays in the vault of Pop.
Pop turns his attention to Archie.
Think, would you want me to tell anyone about that time you know who shot you down like the Red Baron?
Archie looks ashen-faced as Pop turns to Jug.
Or about where you really found that hat?
Jughead gulps and adjusts his crowned beanie as Pop bends down behind the counter to get some cleaning supplies. Archie leans over the counter to plead with him.
Pop, I get it, but this is an emergency. Can't you break your rule just this one time?
I feel your pain. Reggie Mantle is a $50 haircut on a 10-cent head. But sacred trust.
Archie and Jughead get up from their stools and walk toward the door, dejected.
Got a question for you, though.
Pop spritzes the counter with a spray bottle.
If Reggie, a high school kid, is dishing dirt on a lodge level, where do you think he's getting it from?
Archie blinks.
Yeah. Where would he learn?
Doesn't Reggie's dad work at the newspaper?
Arch and Jug stare at each other in realization.
He publishes it. He's got mad sources. I bet.
Archie grins at Pop.
Thanks, Pop.
I simply asked a question. Sacred trust.
The boys head toward the diner door. Pop wipes down the counter. Suddenly, Archie dashes back and leans in conspiratorially.
Psst! You know anything about this boy Betty seeing?
Psst! Say, Grid.
Worth a shot.
Chapter 3. Stop the presses.
What'd you expect?
Richard Mantle shows Archie around the modest offices of the Riverdale Gazette.
It ain't like in the old movies, champ. Not a lot of excitement. Like most all local papers, we got bought up by a conglomerate a while back.
Mr. Mantle runs a hand through his thinning black hair.
Nowadays, we get most of our stories sent to us by a national feed. I can introduce you to all my local reporters in about 15 seconds.
They stop near an empty cubicle.
But I can always employ a kid who wants to work.
Thanks, Mr. Mantle. Where can I start? Running down a story? Taking action photos?
What did I just say?
Mr. Mantle frowns as a grizzled, ink-stained old-timer approaches them and holds out an old, ink-blotched apron to Archie.
Here, welcome to the printing department, Red.
Archie is left to his own devices in the print shop. He ties on his apron and pulls out his phone. Extending it arm's length, he flashes the camera a cheesy grin and gives a thumbs up as he takes a selfie. He examines the phone screen, then frowns.
Phone's almost dead. Where can I charge?
He looks around on a nearby desk and sees what looks like a charging cable docked to a desktop computer.
There.
He plugs his phone into the cable. He bends down, picks up a huge roll of paper, and turns to go, knocking over a potted plant perched on the desk. A little later, Archie struggles to carry a tower of ink cans. The top can drops to the ground, and Archie's legs windmill underneath him as he tries to keep his footing in the spreading puddle of ink. To no avail. The grizzled print shop boss runs up, veins standing out on his forehead, and points toward the door. Arch gets up from the ink puddle, unties his dripping apron, and hands it to the fuming boss. His head hanging, Archie pushes through the print shop door onto the loading dock, where Jughead waits for him.
Check it out. It's the man from Riverdale. How goes the spy business?
Terrible. All I've learned is what ink tastes like.
Rather not take this call where others can hear, Counselor.
They look over to see Mr. Mantle walk out from a door around the corner. He talks on his cell phone, unaware of their presence.
I appreciate you getting Reggie's record cleared. No one has to know. Yes, I got his file. It's in my office. That is the only copy.
Jug and Arch exchange a look, their eyes widening.
Okay, Tony, fire up the press.
Moments later, Archie peers into the open door of Richard Mantle's office. He quietly steps into the darkened room, peering at the piles of paper and folders stacked everywhere. He looks back over his shoulder, feeling a little guilty about trespassing, then turns his attention back to the reams of paperwork covering the desk. Then he sees it, half hidden under another folder. A file that reads Mantle R, case number 0506 JCK. He looks around to see if the coast is clear, then reaches tentatively for the folder. His fingertips brush the folder. Archie's face squinches up as he fights with his conscience. His hand closes into a fist rather than take the file, and his shoulders slump.
That's stealing. That's too far. Right?
He withdraws his hand.
I can sink Mantle some honorable way if I hang around here long.
Andrews!
Enough.
Archie runs back into the print shop where newspapers are running off the press. The grizzled boss holds a copy and gapes at it, apoplectic.
What is it? Is something wrong with today's edition?
Yeah!
The boss shoves the newspaper in Archie's face. There, under the headline, Governor to Visit Riverdale, is a half-page spread of Archie's selfie, grinning cheesily and giving a thumbs up.
Somebody hooked his phone up to the capacity machine!
Archie's freckled face pales.
Can I have my phone?
The boss throws the newspaper to the floor as Archie runs for his life to the exit.
Chapter 4. Since when do you call me Richard?
Back at Pop's chocolate shop, a despondent Archie slouches through the door. Pop looks up, surprised.
You're kidding. You've been gone 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Turn up much?
Nothing.
Archie slumps forward and lets his forehead hit the counter.
I had a chance too, but...
Sorry.
It's okay. You got a menu?
You know the menu by heart.
I just want something to hide behind.
A puzzled Pop hands Archie a menu and watches the lad trudge toward the furthest booth.
I blew it. Lodge is doomed. Ronnie's doomed. I'm doomed.
Archie collapses into the booth, props the menu up in front of him, and buries his head in his arms against the table.
Pop! Booth for two of the most important men in Riverdale.
Pop looks over to see Richard Mantle and his son Reggie enter the diner.
My boy's in with Lodge. He's gonna own this town someday. He's made some powerful friends, haven't you, boy?
Dad, watch the jacket, okay?
Ha-ha! Yes, sir! Just don't forget your old man when you make it big, huh?
They both take a seat in a booth near the entrance.
Pop, hustle! We're celebrating here, and the good restaurants don't open until 5.
Pop frowns, but dutifully brings over two menus to the Mantles, who ignore him. Mr. Mantle grins at his son.
Hey, did I tell you one of your classmates came by the offices today? Some red-headed kid? Andy something?
Calm down, Richard. Archie Andrews?
Since when do you call me Richard? Okay, whatever.
Pop heads back behind the counter, listening to their conversation.
Yeah, yeah. Andrews. Man, that kid's pathetic. Nice guy, but...
Finishes last.
They always do. If you're not a winner, you're a loser. Am I right?
Pop glances over at the far booth, where Archie hides behind his menu, looking mortified. Pop's eyes narrow, then he turns back to the Mantles.
Hey, Reggie. Bend your ear for a sec.
Huh?
As Mr. Mantle studies the menu, Reggie gets up and approaches Pop at the counter.
You sure Lodge wants you to work for him? I don't think he does.
Then you're crazy. I'm practically family now.
Maybe that's because he hasn't heard about...
Pop leans in to whisper in his ear. Reggie goes white, staring at Pop with wide eyes of terror. Behind his menu, Archie's eyes get big as saucers, astonished that Pop is going to bat for him.
Where did you hear?
Pop nonchalantly goes back to wiping down the counter.
Dude! That's got to stay between us.
It can.
Reggie storms toward the exit. His dad looks up from his menu.
Reggie?
Mr. Mantle leaps up to follow Reggie out.
Son, what's wrong?
He trails after his son, who walks with his hands shoved into his pockets, brooding.
Leave me alone.
What is it?
I said leave me alone, okay?
Beside them, the Lodge limousine pulls up. And the tinted back seat window rolls down, revealing Hiram Lodge himself dressed in ski gear.
Good. There you are. Get in, son. We're late for the slopes.
Reggie looks at Pop through the diner window. Pop looks back at him with a neutral expression. Reggie hangs his head and can't bring himself to meet Mr. Lodge's eyes.
Suck it, you ugly old fossil.
Lodge is livid.
What?
Reggie's dad is horrified.
What?
Reggie turns and walks away from them.
You heard me.
I certainly did. No one talks to a Lodge that way. You're fired.
The limousine pulls away down the street.
You've made a powerful enemy, you unctuous little...
Lodge!
Richard Mantle runs desperately after the limo.
He was kidding! This
This is all a misunderstanding. Kids, right? But let's discuss it over cigars. My treat. Hira!
And suddenly, just like that, everything's Archie.
Later, Archie walks along the streets of Riverdale.
Yeah, I still have problems.
He sees Betty and Saeed walking together in the distance.
Still plenty of stuff that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And I may never know why Reggie has a record.
Archie!
Veronica runs up to Archie and snugs up against him.
But what counts is that I no longer have a skeevy shark diving on my girlfriend like Jughead on a French fry.
Together, they walk arm in arm and gaze into each other's eyes adoringly.
For now, I'll take the win. Now that I don't have Reggie working against me.
They pass by a giant billboard emblazoned with the face of Hiram Lodge, who seems to stare after them with fiery rage.
Maybe I can win over Ronnie's dad.
Chapter 5. Two Kittens and a Puppy.
Mr. Lodge doesn't really think I'm a thief. He's not going to press charges, not if Veronica has anything to say about it. He just regrets hiring me as a caddy.
Turn the wheel! Turn the wheel!
Yeah!
Andrews, you're headed right towards the clubhouse!
And hiring me to detail his car, which wasn't waterproof. And to be a night watchman at his office, which wasn't waterproof. And the 100 other odd jobs he has me doing specifically so I have no time to see his daughter. He knows that directly ordering Ronnie away from me will make her want me more. As it is, Ronnie and I have to sneak around behind his back so he doesn't blow a gasket. But I don't know how much longer we can fool him.
It wasn't Archie's fault, Daddy.
Of course not. It was mine.
Veronica follows Hiram Lodge into one of the many well-appointed rooms in the Lodge mansion, where an easel stands in the middle of the room. Their faithful butler Smithers removes Hiram's jacket.
If I didn't want Andrews to get his head stuck in something, I shouldn't have let him within 500 yards of it.
He's a little clumsy, but he... Whoa.
Veronica notices the large poster resting on the easel, upon which is printed a stoic-looking photograph of Hiram over the words, Vote Lodge.
What? What?
Hiram reaches into his pocket and pins a campaign button on the stunned Veronica's blouse.
I'm running for mayor, which I'm permitted to do under the Constitution without your Majesty's approval.
Veronica glowers at him.
Go ahead. Run. Run far. I don't care.
Then what is your problem?
Ugh.
She jabs angrily at the poster.
Now I know why you moved us to Sewerdale. Why I have to go to that school with the ugly green paint and the teachers who smell like gas station food.
Veronica snatches the poster from the easel and glares at it.
Why I have to sit in plastic chairs and do my makeup in those filthy girls' room mirrors under that awful light that makes me look like a 25-year-old crone.
She whirls on her father.
That's why you took me out of private school, isn't it? So you look like a man of the people.
All right, yes.
Hiram yanks the poster back.
But you should be proud of your old man. We can own this town. Given time, we can own this state and more. I set my sights high, and so should you.
Veronica is speechless. Hiram sets the poster back on the easel, steps forward, and places his hands on her shoulders.
Veronica, honey, you can do so much better than Archie.
Veronica says nothing. Hiram shakes his head sternly.
I'm tired of being nice. I'm ready to take drastic action if you two start up again. Don't force my hand.
She rolls her eyes.
I've been staying away from him, Daddy, okay?
She turns to leave.
Ugh, now, if you'll excuse me, there's fresh caviar in the fridge.
Hold on!
Hiram stops his daughter, squinting at something on her sleeve. He reaches out and plucks off a strand of hair.
What's this?
He holds it up and studies it intently, frowning.
A red hair?
Veronica looks trapped.
What? No. That hair, it's just... it belongs to...
You defy me in secret and act self-righteous to my face.
The hair, it, belongs to...
Veronica bites her lip, then her eyes brighten.
My cat, Orange Cat. It's Orange Cat's hair. Fur. His.
Hiram is not amused.
You don't have a...
Daddy!
Veronica storms out of the room indignantly.
If you loved me, you'd know my cat.
Alone, Hiram Lodge lifts the strand of red hair to his face and glares at it.
Archie Andrews, you've already destroyed my house.
His eyes narrow and his jaw clenches.
You will not have my home.
Meanwhile, in the Andrews' small, cozy dining room, Archie's mom, Mary, serves spaghetti and meatballs for dinner. Fred's spot at the table is empty.
No dad?
He's working late.
Again?
He's angling for a promotion. Best to remind his bosses how dedicated he is. Oh, I forgot the butter.
As Mary heads back into the kitchen, Archie glances over at his father's chair. He sees a pile of bills marked urgent, overdue, and final notice. Archie frowns.
That's not for you, Archie.
But...
don't worry about that. If you're going out after dinner, bring home some coffee for your father. He needs his coffee with the hours he's putting in.
Later, Veronica, incognito in a pink hoodie and sunglasses, leads Archie by the hand toward the Riverdale Pet Emporium.
But I thought we were headed to Pop's.
Talk to me when he starts serving marbled Kobe beef Wellington.
Inside the store, Veronica holds her arms out like she's greeting a legion of admirers.
We're going shopping.
She opens a cage and holds up an orangish tabby kitten next to a confused Archie's head.
Veronica?
Don't use my name in public. If it gets back to Daddy, he's too suspicious as it is.
She picks up another kitten with ochre fur and holds it next to Archie's head.
Hold still.
What are you doing?
Looking for companionship.
I'm companionship.
We can talk about that after.
After what?
Veronica puts the kitten back and scans the store.
After we find a match for... oh, look there.
She points toward a little girl holding a huge, grumpy-looking Persian cat.
Ow!
Veronica pushes Archie's head down near the cat. Their hair is a perfect match.
Perfect. I'll take that kitten, little girl.
The little girl clutches the cat tightly.
No!
Ronnie leans down and smiles sweetly at the girl.
What's your name?
Lucy.
Well, Lucy, I will buy you two kittens.
The girl's father starts to object.
I don't think we...
But I love this one.
No, you don't. You just met him. What if I throw in a puppy? Come on, two kittens and a puppy?
Absolutely not. We don't have room.
Deal!
Outside the pet store, the little girl skips out merrily in front of her disgruntled father, who struggles to hold two cat carriers while clutching the leash of a bounding puppy. Archie and Veronica walk out behind them and head in the opposite direction. Ronnie holds the fat, ginger cat in her arms.
I'll call you... Andrews. You're not replacing Archie exactly. I want you to know our relationship is its own thing.
Wait, replacing me?
Daddy's threatening to use his money to vaporize you somehow. And I can't do anything to stop him until he plays his hand.
Are we breaking up?
Veronica kisses Archie on the cheek.
For a little while, Archie. For your own good. Just until Daddy calms down.
She leaves him standing bewildered and alone.
Chapter 6. Good news!
The next morning, Jughead and Archie are gathered in the Andrews garage for band practice. Archie stares despondently off into space.
What do you figure vaporize means in this context?
Archie imagines himself being frog marched by a police officer past a sign reading Riverdale City Limits, except the word Riverdale is pasted over with the word Lodgedale. In his mind's eye, he runs naked and terrified through the woods, being hunted for sport by Hiram Lodge.
Could be anything. Ronnie says she'll fix it, but she can't until she knows what it is.
Archie unslings his guitar.
I'm gonna go lay down.
Lie.
He walks away glumly.
Okay, I'm gonna go pretend I don't miss Ronnie. That a big enough lie for you?
Later, in his living room, Archie is slumped deep into the recliner, arms dangling over the armrests, legs sprawled out in front of him. His mother walks in and observes the clearly depressed teen.
Archie, talk to me. I can tell something's wrong.
Everything's fine.
She picks up the remote control and offers it to him.
TV?
No, thanks. Just peace and quiet while I wait for doomsday. What form will it take? What will it be? What will it...
Suddenly, the front door slams open, knocking over a houseplant, and Fred Andrews strides into the house, beaming.
Great news, family!
He does a cheesy dad dance.
I've been offered a new job! A better one! A much better one! Triple the money, and that's just a start!
Fred! That's amazing!
Archie looks over as Fred and Mary embrace.
Yeah, it's unbelievable! You know how I reorganized the K-5s?
K?
The requisition forms at work, remember? I added a box to track demand for items with serial numbers starting with 5, 5A, and 5E. It was the talk of the office.
Honestly, I don't remember.
Well, fortunately, someone heard the buzz and took notice, because it led right to this opportunity. He wants to use my talents. Those were his exact words.
Archie looks quizzical.
Whose exact words, Dad?
Hiram Lodge!
Archie's face pales.
And I've saved the best news for last. The biggest adventure this family has ever had. The job requires training in international finance, so pack your bags.
Fred grins widely.
Because we're going to spend a year in Singapore!
Archie can only muster a single syllable.
What?
Dumbstruck. Archie meets Jughead at the Riverdale Park, where they sit glumly on a bench. Juggy throws a ball, and his white English sheepdog named Hot Dog chases after it.
I don't think I ever saw Dad this happy.
That's so awful.
Hot Dog returns with a tree branch and drops it at Juggy's feet.
I wanted to get in his face and tell him Lodge did this to me and Veronica. That all he wants is to drive us apart.
Singapore will do that. I hear it's very good at keeping people far away from Riverdale.
Hot Dog dashes off happily.
But he's so proud of himself. The truth would crush him.
I know. Crushing people is the truth's hobby.
Hot Dog comes back with a chattering squirrel held gently in his mouth.
But if you don't tell him, he'll kidnap you to Singapore and you and her are done. Hey!
The sheepdog drops the squirrel and they both scamper off.
You and me are done.
Archie buries his head in his hands.
I guess we are, Jug.
Chapter 7. Condos.
In the Andrews living room, Archie is slumped in the recliner while Jughead is slumped on the couch in the exact same pose. Arms hanging limp beside them, legs thrust out in defeat.
So you can imagine how miserable the next few days are. The emotional void of Veronica-lessness was bad enough by itself. But now it's been filled up with mopey Jughead.
Fred Andrews jaunts into the room carrying a tablet.
And, of course, super happy Dad. I don't know which is the worst.
Archie face palms and sinks slower into the recliner.
But it's all aimed at me.
Now, son, they won't let you drive in Singapore until you're 18, but...
Pred shows Archie the tablet's on-screen picture of a pristine beach dotted with palm trees in the foreground and majestic pagodas in the background.
But neither will you have to shovel snow! Look at the beaches!
Archie tries to look happy, but he can't.
That's great, Dad.
Outside in his driveway, Archie stares glumly at his beat-up, rusted car.
More punishment. I have to give up my beloved chariot.
Archie slaps the fender and the headlight falls off.
I know that sound.
Huh?
Archie looks over to see Betty Cooper emerging from the bushes, separating her yard from his. Saeed Ali follows her, carrying her toolbox.
Saeed, meet Archie.
Betty grins at Archie.
I heard a familiar crash. I could use an afternoon project. Nurse, pliers.
Betty kneels down and examines the headlight slot as Saeed rummages around in the toolbox.
Hey, Jug told us about Veronica's dad dropping the nuke. She can shut this down, right?
She's trying, Betty. But Mr. Lodge isn't bending.
Saeed takes out a pair of pliers and gives Arch a good-natured smile.
Maybe that's a good thing. I mean, think of the experience. It's just a year, right?
He reaches out and offers the pliers to Betty.
What are you really gonna be missing out on?
Archie feels a pang in his heart as he watches Betty gently take the tool from Saeed, their hands lightly touching.
You have to tell your dad what's up, Archie.
As Betty picks up the headlight and fits it back into its slot, she looks up at Arch, her blue eyes momentarily betraying the affection she still has for him.
Things left unsaid will eat you from the inside.
That evening, in the Andrews household, Archie paces the hallway.
Dad? Listen.
He tries to work up his courage.
Dad, there's something you ought to know.
Huh? What's the housing situation in Singapore, Fred?
Archie stops pacing and listens to the conversation from the living room, where his folks play cards with his pal Raj's parents, Ravi and Mona Patel.
Mr. Lodge tipped me off about these beautiful waterfront condos, and they'll be affordable for us. Imagine that, Mary. Breakfast on the terrace overlooking the sea.
Don't brag, dear.
Oh, of course. Sorry. Don't get the wrong idea. It doesn't mean that much, really. But you know what does make me feel like crowing a little?
Fred? It's okay. What?
We'll be able to afford Archie's college. I never thought I'd be able to say that.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I just can't express how much it means to me.
Archie closes his eyes and his back to the wall slides slowly down.
Chapter 8. Victory.
Archie sits forlornly in his darkened bedroom, his face illuminated by the light of his phone as he texts.
This is killing me.
He's not budging. Meet me at Pop's, baby. I'll bring Kobe.
Mary Andrews sticks her head into the room and watches her son for a moment.
Ronnie?
Archie looks up at her sadly.
How'd you know?
I've been in love more than once.
She walks over and sits on the bed beside him, putting her hand on his shoulder.
I know it'll be hard, but it's only a year. Your father's doing this for the right reason.
Archie doesn't respond.
He's doing it for you.
As Mary leans in to hug her son, Archie stares out the window at the rain, his jaw tightening in anger. A flash of lightning illuminates the exterior of Lodge Manor. A grim-looking Archie marches toward the front door, his fists clenched.
Mr. Andrews.
Excuse me, Smithers.
Archie storms past him.
I beg your pardon. One does not barge into Lodge Manor, young man. Moreover, Miss Veronica isn't here.
Good. That makes this easier.
At the end of the hallway, Hiram Lodge emerges from his study.
Andrews? Oh, this is a very bad time.
Tough! You're gonna hear me out!
Lodge blocks Archie from entering the study.
Son, I'm busy. Go on home.
Not until you know how mad I am.
Lodge's eyes narrow at the smoldering, dripping wet teenager.
You're good. You played me. We both know the only reason you hired my dad was to move me half a world away from Ronnie.
Archie gets in Lodge's face.
And I could torpedo that if I just told my dad the truth.
His lip trembles.
But I can't. Can I? That man is the greatest dad there is. And you're using him. And guess what?
Archie steps closer, practically nose to nose with the frowning millionaire.
You win. I'll go.
That's why you came here? To tell me that?
Archie hangs his head.
No. I came here to tell you off because the dad I love taught me to always stand up to bullies.
For a moment, Lodge is silent.
You done?
Archie turns and heads back outside into the storm.
I'm done.
Lodge turns back to the study, but pauses thoughtfully to watch Smithers close the large oak door after the young man. He enters the study and addresses the raincoat-clad visitor sitting in a chair before his desk.
Kids, right? Their imagination has a way of...
Not Archie.
Fred Andrews glares at Hiram with a newfound anger. Lodge walks over to him, trying to downplay the situation.
Andrews, Fred. Father to father, cards on the table, Archie was right. But I've spent enough time around you since to see you are an asset. Honestly, my offer still stands. Why not let this be water under the bridge?
Because...
Fred stands up and heads toward the door.
I don't like bullies.
He slams the door behind him, knocking over a campaign poster mounted on a tripod.
Huh.
Lodge looks down and sees Veronica's new orange cat clawing the poster like a scratching post.
And all I know is that Dad decided to turn Lodge down.
In the Andrews kitchen, Archie is cooking a skillet full of hamburgers on the stove, while Jughead is posed like a sitting dog, staring up happily, waiting to be fed.
Well, on the one hand, I have a potential mayor grinding an axe against me, and I'll probably have to get my degree online from the University of American Samoa. On the other, my dad rocks, and my friend has regained his will to live. Sorry, Jug. I mean, best friend.
Archie pats Juggy's head.
Still, this isn't much of a victory. I'm still right where I was with Ronnie, which is unbalanced. Balance has not been restored.
Archie serves the slightly charred burgers onto a plate.
I mean, friends and family have their place and all, but what a person really needs is...
He sets the plate on the counter and heads toward the front door.
Hey, Jug, save a burger for... me? Hello. What can I do for you?
Veronica stands on the front porch without her hoodie or sunglasses. She looks radiant.
You can kiss me.
Archie blinks, then lurches forward into her arms. After a passionate kiss, Archie, weak-kneed and surprised, slides down the door jamb in a happy shambles while Veronica steps over him into the living room.
Where's your, disguise?
Don't need it. Daddy says we can be together.
Woo-hoo!
Archie leaps to his feet as Veronica puts a finger to his lips, shushing him.
As long as he never has to see you. You make him so angry.
She closes the front door behind her.
So, we are going to have to hang out here from now on. At your house.
She peers around the Andrews' modest house.
It's so quaint. Where's the billiard room? Can you tell your chef to whip up a snack?
Jughead sticks his head in from the kitchen as Veronica wanders down the hall.
I'll happily make popcorn, because this is gonna be massively entertaining.